Stand to your feet. Amen. If you preach God's word, all right, awesome. Okay, if you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, preacher, teacher, same thing. The way I make them different is I'm a preacher because I talk very loud, right? I just teach loudly. That's a preacher. Okay, if you're a Bible study leader or a small group leader, stand your feet. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm going to speak this over you right now. You ready? No more just reading the Bible. No more just delivering the Bible. No more just speaking the Bible. I pray right now, and I prophesy to you, because I feel like this is from God's word, you are going to not only teach it, you're going to live it in a supernatural way. God is going to take you to a deeper place with him, that his word is going to be relevant not only in what you teach, preach, and say, but you're going to do mighty moves of God. You're not going to only teach, preach, and pray for people. You're going to walk with them. You're going to teach them, and it's going to start with you. Things are supernatural going to fall upon you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Right now, you're going to feel the anointing and the presence and the power of God, and he's going to do something mighty. You're going to go to a deeper level. You're going to teach not only by your mouth, but by example. Amen. You're going to experience God's word. God's going to touch you. He's going to speak to you, and he's going to lead you in supernatural ways. And I believe it's going to start right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're saying. I thank you for this right now. I pray for these leaders, these teachers of your word. God, that we not be just people that speak, but we're people that do. Don't just make faith in our mouth. Put our hands to work. Put our eyes to work. Put our hearts to work. Put our feet to work. God, send us like your word says in the Great Commission that we must go. Not only speak, teach, preach, and pray, but we're going to go. And we're going to lead. Father, I pray that when we look back as leaders of your word, there'll be people that are following in a supernatural way. I thank you right now. I pray for more power in Jesus' name, more revelation in Jesus' name, more love in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for the calling on their life and the position that you've placed in their life. I thank you for the authority that you've placed. They will not take that for granted. They don't own anything, but they will steward all things. They'll be good stewards of what you've given them. And God, I also pray this. As you've given them little, make it many if they're faithful. Let them be faithful. Let them be obedient. Give them many in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At First Open Bible, we have a 3G method, grounded in the word, growing in discipleship, and going to serve. Everything we do is in that. Grounded in the word, it's got to be number one. You don't know the word, what are you doing? Okay, grounded in the word, growing in discipleship, going to serve. Okay, and then our Bible verse that we have, and I know a lot of churches, and I'm not slamming any church. I just feel like this was revelation from the Lord almost 8 years ago when God placed me in this position. I was the youth pastor, and God told me to do this. I said, no way, adults are mean, they look at you funny, and I don't know anything about being a lead pastor. And most of that is still true. So, hallelujah. Yeah, it's true. But I want to be led by God. And so then when he said and put on my heart, he said, you know, a lot of churches have, they have a mission statement, they have a vision, and they have a Bible verse or verses to follow, right? In Habakkuk, it says that you make the vision plain so people can run with it, okay? You got to run with it. So I'm trying to make it plain this morning. We're going to run with it. But I also want to add to it because I think God's making it even more plain right now, this very moment. And the vision and the scripture that God gave us before we took this position or stepped into it fully was the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But we stop there, and I want to be reminded that the Great Commission in one of the Gospels also says that these signs should follow those who believe. Okay, so we're so used to sitting, soaking, and getting wrinkly. But God wants you to run so fast that your wrinkles fly back like a Holy Spirit facelift, hallelujah. that you're running so, that was the Lord and me mixed together. That was crazy. But that you're running so fast that God is changing and moving things, right? We forget that we're supposed to go. And then sometimes the ones that are going, we forget that we're supposed to do and what Jesus did. That the signs that Jesus did, the signs should follow those who believe. You should be doing the things that God has called you to do. And if you're not doing those things, then you have to ask God, am I truly following you? Or have I only accepted the gospel for myself? If you've only accepted the gospel for yourself, you don't know the true meaning of the gospel. The gospel is to give your life away. Jesus came to give his life away, to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen? So why should we not do the same? But I love that God's love will pour out upon us. You know, we're Pentecostal. What does that mean? It means we believe in the full gospel of Jesus. We don't believe that the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit died out. Cessationalism is the word. We didn't believe that it died out with the prophets. It didn't die out with the ones in the 120 in the upper room and the disciples. We don't believe that that's where it died out. I want to give you just a little rational thinking. Okay, maybe I grew up in a church like this. Whenever I saw signs, wonders, and miracles, or whenever I saw healing, or I saw somebody prophesy or speak, I thought, oh, that's of the devil. That's just how I was raised. In one of the mainline denominations, which is funny, that mainline denomination, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be who we are today. But somehow they went so far left, so far religious, that they forgot where they've come from. God, may you bless them. May you convict their hearts. Let the word of God jump out of the paper and to their hearts and put it on their lips. God, I pray that more people in some of these denominations will start speaking with other tongues and seeing miracles take place, and they'll go out and give words, and they'll pray for people, and tumors will fall off, and amazing things will happen. Their family, the lost will come back to Jesus and find Jesus, and their family will be restored. God, may that be. May that be. The belief is this. It's that it died out. So Jesus, he died, rose again, showed himself for 40 days. I know this isn't Pentecost, and I'll be preaching more of this later, but I feel like I need to go there. Died, rose again, showed himself for 40 days, and then he ascended to heaven. And then he said to his disciples, the followers, there's about 500 at the time, he says, go into Jerusalem and tarry. Tarry, like maybe Terry was there, I don't know, but not Terry. But he said, tarry is another word for wait, okay? Wait and anticipate. Come on now. I feel like Dr. Seuss. Wait and anticipate, right? Hop on pop. Okay, so praise God. Hey, that's for somebody. Hop on pop, get in his lap, you need him. Hallelujah. And I feel good. I didn't even have any caffeine. This is great. I got Holy Ghost caffeine. Amen. Okay, so he sends to heaven. Before he ascends to heaven, he says, hey, my Father, he's going to send another. He's going to send someone greater. Tarry, wait, anticipate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know. It said, from power from on high. And they're like, I don't know what that is, but Jesus said it. He's about to leave us, so I want to do it. So 500 show up. They go into this upper room, and they're there, and they wait. It takes 10 days. By 10 days comes, and man, isn't this what church is like, right? And they wait 10 days. People get weary, get tired, and they have other things to do. So they actually leave, and 120 are left of the 500. I don't know what percent that is, but it's not great, right? Reminds me of maybe a grade when I didn't sit by someone smart. Hallelujah. I'm playing a little bit. Okay, some of y'all caught that. I'm just flowing. Okay, so 120 in the upper room. Then the Spirit of God falls into place like fire, like wind. They speak with other tongues, and then they have boldness. Peter gets out of that place. He goes down. He preaches 3,000 men and probably more women because they don't really account for that. 3,000 people plus accept Christ. And not only did those people accept Christ and the gospel, but they were also from all different nations. Some of them even spoke in other languages, and they got out of that place. They start speaking with other tongues, and these people like, what is going on? They actually know my language, and they're telling me the gospel in that language. It was wild because where they're at was a hub for a lot of trade and a lot of things that are going on. So it's kind of like America, where there's a lot of nationalities, a lot of people. And there was a lot of people there at that time. And Peter preached with boldness, and 3,000 were saved plus. And it was absolutely incredible. So then what happens, and then church goes on and on and on for hundreds of years. And at some point, I don't know my history very well, and I didn't study this before I started speaking. But at some point, there was a belief that that all died out with those people. The 120 in the upper room, the disciples that were there, it all died out. That's where it stopped, okay? And so here's where I go with this, because this is what I was taught. And then I went to a Pentecostal church, first time I ever walked into a church that I didn't understand, because my church was like a museum. It was. It's like somebody coughs and you're like, excuse you? Hey, Mary, did you see that? That lady smiled. This is church. You shouldn't smile at church. I mean, it's that kind of junk, right? It was just like dead as dead can be. Oh, but we walked in this church and it was completely different and it blew my mind. And I walked in and people raised their hands. I said, hey, mom, why do all these people have questions? How's the pastor going to get to all of them? Right? I never even seen anybody raise their hands before. This is a huge church, 2,000 people. And I was like, this is going to be forever. Oh, my last church was really bad, and this one's going to take forever. So these things are taught when I grew up. Then I start seeing people speaking with other tongues. This one time, we were in this big crowd, and I was fairly new Christian, accepted Christ by the gospel of Jesus and the grace that he accepts me where I'm at right now. I don't have to clean up to get into the shower. I get into the shower, get cleaned up. That I came to church, and God cleaned me up and found me where I was at. I couldn't believe it, that God loves me right where I'm at, and he loves me enough he doesn't want me to stay there. I could not believe it. By the pulling of his love, I accepted Christ. And so now I accept Christ, and I'm seeing these things happen. We had a big crowd on a Sunday morning, and it was a fairly large church, and sometimes, unfortunately, larger church, even if they're Pentecostal, they don't allow the gifts to move as much as they probably should. So this church didn't have a lot of gifts move, but every once in a while, we'd see one, like maybe once every 2-3 months. And then this one lady gets up, and she starts, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is wrong? Like, I'm freaking out. Never seen a thing. I know nothing about it. And I'm like, she is being so rude, right? She said, this is not her turn to talk. You know, I'm just mad. And then the pastor gets up and he said, we heard a tongue, and in God's word it says we need an interpretation. And it took a pause for a moment. And this guy that got up, he was very, very dark-skinned. And he had a thick accent. And he stands up. And I could tell that he was visiting here because he starts talking. He says, I'm here on a business trip. And he was some part of Africa, deep into a jungle area. He said all this out of his mouth. And I'm from this place. He said where he's from. He says there's about 3,000 people with that dialect. And this is what she said in my native tongue in that dialect. And he gives the word. That's the first time I ever heard tongues interpretation. And at that moment, I'm like, I need to read the Bible a little more because something's going on. This is blowing my mind. So then it started, I then had the spirit of religion, or maybe the thoughts of religion because of what had been taught. I was taught a lot of man and not a lot of God. And I had to like go back, you know, from birth until about 8th, 9th grade or so, I was in this religious church that was, there's nothing wrong with structure, but it was just dead religion. And I didn't realize it till later when I found the true love of God. But then they kept teaching this thing. They kept saying this, that all died out with the 120. But I was like, I just saw a lady stand up. There's hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe like 600 to 700 in that service. And then that guy who's on a business trip coming to church for the very first time, he barely speaks very good English. He said, there's 3,000 people that speak that dialect and it was perfect. And this lady, she's like a big white lady and she's talking. And then this darker guy, he's talking. He's like, and then that's my perfect dialect. And then he gives this whole word. I was like, that wasn't the devil. There couldn't have been the devil because it blessed the church. That doesn't make any sense. Why would the devil want to bless the church? And why would that happen? That's like a miracle. Like, Lord, what is this? And I was taught that it died out with the 120 in the upper room and the disciples. So I want to ask this question, if maybe you believe that, or maybe some scholars can go against this. But this is the revelation I got from the Holy Spirit when I started studying. I said, wait a second, Paul in the New Testament tells us that we should pray in tongues, we should prophesy. He's the one who teaches us on the gifts of the Spirit. He's the one that pushes it so much. He even tells us how to do it in the church, but he wasn't there in the upper room. How does that make any sense to me? If it died out with the 120 in the upper room, I was like, maybe it was through osmosis, because Paul got to hang out with some of the disciples, right? Okay, I'm like, okay, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. It was osmosis. They laid hands and they imparted that power from on high that Jesus was only talking to the 100 or the 500 at the time that they believe. It was for that time. But I was like, okay, if that's true, then Paul actually tells us to lay hands on people. So he laid hands on a lot of people. That means Timothy probably had it and other people he sent. So what if they laid hands? What if they laid hands and they laid hands in impartation? Couldn't that be right now? So maybe their osmosis belief could be true, but it's not. We believe, church, we believe that those times are for now, because the Word of God says in the last days, he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. There's going to be dreams and visions. He also tells us in the New Testament that we are to eagerly desire these gifts. They're all available to us through the Spirit of God. Not that we are special, but that God wants to use us as vessels. As vessels with his giftings, with his gifts, to go and to preach the gospel. Sometimes you're not good with words. I get it. Sometimes I'm not either. Maybe, just maybe, you don't need to say any words in your own thoughts, and you need to let the Holy Spirit speak through you. Can you imagine walking up to people and just, God just places something on your heart? You're like, that, you know, that lady's Jenny, and Jenny needs a touch from God because she's been hurt by her father. And you walk up to Jenny and you say, just randomly, and you say, hey, listen, I'm a Christian. God speaks to me. Sometimes I get it right, sometimes I don't. But I feel like God wants me to say this to you because he loves you. Your name's Jenny and you've been hurt by your father, and God wants to love you right now. And if you are right and you heard from the Spirit of God, what will happen, church? What will happen, Hudson? They'll probably start crying. They'll think that you're stalking them. Anyone else? Should have used a guy's name. That's just got weird. I mean, that's possible, son. That's possible, right? Here's the thing. They're going to have a lot of questions, and you're going to have a lot of answers. Something miraculous is going to take place. And it doesn't ever say in the Bible that we're supposed to just come to church and sit around and soak. Lord, forgive us if that's all we've ever done. We have missed the gospel of Jesus. We have missed the calling of the church. We have missed that we're living in the last days, and he's called us to do great things. And don't be condemned, be convicted. Be convicted so you can be empowered. Hallelujah. I want to tell you a story. So we were just at this conference, and it was really cool. And you know, a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about a lot of things. And you know what? I don't always agree with myself all the time either. So I went in with a critical mind in some ways, and I was pleasantly surprised. I was thankful. I heard no heresy. I saw or felt nothing that was not of God. I saw humility. I saw the teaching of God's word. I saw the power of God's Spirit. I saw the love of God poured out in every minute of that conference. And it was refreshing, because I even came in, because you know what? Sometimes the internet can be mean. I'm sure the internet says terrible things about me sometimes. I know there's people that left this church that say terrible things about me, and they've twisted words and said things because they have their own perspective. And you know what? You can't always believe what you read, okay? The internet's not always true, believe it or not. Wow, right? Shocker. But I went into it thinking that even if some of that was true and things did happen, you know, why would God not allow us to change? Why would God not allow us to move with him? And so I was so excited for what was God's going to do, because oftentimes when you get into ministry and these kind of positions that God has called me to, a lot of times you just pour out, you pour out, you pour out. You pour out so much that you don't have anything else to pour out. Then you find yourself being wrong. Like, I should be filled to be poured out. If I'm not full, I got nothing to give. It should be out of the overflow that I minister, not out of the teeny tiny bits. Amen? Amen. Somebody right there. Amen. It's true. So I was so thankful to go because I had nothing to do. Let me tell you one. I'm going to tell you one crazy thing that happened, and then I'm going to tell you something awesome that happened. So the crazy thing that happened to me, and I asked my wife to pray for me. So the very first time we got put at this table with the main speakers, which is a blessing, like VIP crazy stuff, then the church pastor and the associate pastor, and they put us at this table, and I just felt so honored that out of all these hundreds of people that you allowed us to have this luncheon and sit by these people so we can just kind of rub shoulders, ask things. And I asked the question to one guy he's been a pastor for a really long time. He's an older gentleman. I said, what's the one wisdom thing that you can give me about ministry? And so he was able to talk, whatever. So then we went to the first couple sessions and we did this, and all of a sudden our kids are there with us, and all of a sudden I feel like my chest got tight. I couldn't catch my thoughts. It's hard to breathe. I wanted to scream and run out of the building. And my wife said, you're having an anxiety attack. You're having a social anxiety attack. Remember, I'm the pastor that lines up and can't wait to hug hundreds of people, right? Anxiety attack for social things, that is not in my DNA, right? The more people, the more hugs, the more talking, the better. That's how I get charged, right? I do have to get away from a few times because sometimes people wear me out, but a lot of times that's how I get built up. And I started having this attack very first day. We had to go back to the hotel. I had to lay down. She warmed up this warmie, put it on my chest, sang me a lullaby. No, some of that's true. Actually, I did get a warmie, put it on my chest, and I said, babe, you got to pray for me. I don't know what this is, but I cannot gather my thoughts. I cannot calm down. I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overstimulated. Like, I was like almost shaking. You know why? Sometimes things happen in our life and the enemy wants to derail us from what God wants for us to receive. And so I was like, okay. So I took a couple hours, relaxed, went back. Kids were relaxing. Mama was relaxing. And I was stopped sweating and got better. And I said, you know what? And we had some people come in that night to the hotel to swim with the kids and their cousins and stuff. And I said, babe, I think I might want to go back tonight. She goes, are you sure? Are you okay? And I was like, I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous. But I can't let this hinder what I need to receive. Is it okay that you stay with the kids and I go to this service? And she let me go, and I'm so thankful I did. It was the beginning where God then shook things off, took things off, and he ministered to me and to a lot of others, and I was so thankful. I want to tell you about this, too. So we went to this conference, and it was supernatural healings, and there was the Spirit of God. There was great teachings, lots getting into his word and talking about this story and that story about Jesus doing this and that. There's just so much. It was like I couldn't actually take it all in. It was like, you know, drinking from a fire hose and just pouring in. And I'm like, I got to take a breath for a second. I got to just take a breather and process some of this stuff. So, but what was really cool, so then the next day our family was with us, and all of a sudden there was a prayer, and you could feel, the way they explained it from the pulpit was, it was like liquid love coming from heaven, right? Liquid love coming down. It's like, it's kind of a mind picture to kind of understand what it feels like. Just kind of falls on you and just covers you. God's love just covers you. Anybody ever felt that before? Raise your hand there like you care. Liquid love. Amen. Many, many people. I felt the liquid love of God. It just fell in the house and you could feel it. There's about 400 people there, if not more. And you could just feel the presence of God fall. Then all of a sudden, dude, I start hearing this guy. He starts screaming, and I'm like, oh, what? Then, two rows back, these chairs, bang, 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 chairs, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, what is going on? This guy got hit by the power of God. His love was so overwhelming, he couldn't handle it. All of a sudden, I look over, and he is crawling, okay? There were starting to be lines of people kind of entering and going to the altar to receive more, get some prayer about maybe things that they're dealing with or things that's going on with them. They wanted to receive what God was doing. And so when they started walking, he just got hit, and it was shaking and shaking, and then he starts crawling, right? So immediately in my mind, I thought, I'm glad he wasn't slithering, because then we're talking about two different things here. Seriously, as a pastor, I can't turn it off. I cannot turn it off. I'm like, if he's slithering, I'm helping out with this one. I got this, right? Send me in. And coach is like, I benched you for a little bit. Like, take a breather, bro. You don't have to be involved all the time. Okay, I'm like, oh, let me out, coach. So, but he starts crawling. And immediately I thought of the woman with the issue of blood. Immediately, it gets better. So he starts crawling, and he gets to the front, and then he starts wailing. Then we look, and we see, that's a Catholic priest. No lie. He had his whole garb on, right? You know, the little white thing, the dark, whatever. And it was kind of popped off at that point. He's like, you know, like a cool one, right? Taking a breather for a moment. Hey, just got out of the confessional, taking a break, right? Anyway, sorry. And but he goes down, and he is just getting hit with God. And so he's down there, and he's actually from Spain, we find out later. His interpreter follows him. They get hit so hard, they start just laughing uncontrollably. Okay? The guy's Catholic. You're not taught that, right? I know there was a charismatic movement through the Catholic Church many years ago. But there was actually quite a few Catholics there. I love this. There was Catholics, Protestants. There was mainlines. There was Pentecostals. There was lots of charismatics, if you know all those big words. Basically, it's the people that believe in this and the people that don't, all under one roof, and they all believed. And it was absolutely incredible. Okay, one other story, and then I want to pray for a few people before we go. Look how late it is already. That's crazy. So here's another story. So another time, I've asked you to do this many times before. Sometimes we extend our hands to heaven. It's an international sign of surrender. Okay, this is international sign of surrender. This is the international sign to receive. Okay, right? Give me a gift, Lord. So he asked everybody to extend their hands as if they're going to receive something. And they did that. And as we're receiving and God's power was coming, we had our kids next to us. And they were involved with it all, which I think is highly important, by the way. You need to teach. Don't just teach your kids the Bible. Teach them what the Bible says to do. Okay? If you can't, sometimes maybe you need to bring them along in what God is telling you to do. I used to bring Hudson and Lindley. I've brought them back in the day when I had a lot more time and I could do a lot of visitations. I used to bring them to the hospital. I used to bring them to people's houses. And I used to ask them, and they observe. You know, we learn the best by observing, not just by hearing, but by observing and then doing. That's exactly what Jesus did. He spoke, he taught, he joined them, helped them, and then he watched. That's discipleship. And so we're just laying there, or we're standing there and we're receiving. Some people went to the front to receive more. And I'm standing here, and Hudson, my son, who's 11, is standing here, and he's like this. And I can see that God is touching him. He's starting to get, his eyes are starting to get a little juicy, right? And you could just feel it. Like, you could see his arms going down. He's trying to pull them up, going down. I said, Hudson, hey, what's going on, man? Are you feeling God's presence? He said, yes. I says, do your hands, what do they feel like? And he said, they feel hot, and I feel heavy. And I said, come with me. So there's so many people that the pastor, and you like this because what I just said, the pastor said, hey, if you feel the leading of the Lord to lay hands on people, feel free to do that. There's so many others. And I'm like, yes, I'm off the bench. I'm in, right? Yes! And so, but I said, come with me. Grab his little hand or his little arm, and I pull him over. And then in the aisle, right by where we're at, Hudson just comes over, and I said, son, just lay hands on him and pray what God says. He starts laying hands, praying, One lady fell out. She was going backwards. I had to grab her because there's nobody there. I was like, she's going to run. It's going to be like dominoes. Like, there's nobody here. So I grab her. Then Hudson prays again, and then she falls to me, and I'm like, ah, right, woo. And then put her down. I'm like, oh, get her, Lord. Then we go to another lady. She cries so hard. She's being released of so much hurt and trauma in her life. She's crying so hard. She has to sit down, and Hudson, I mean, he's just simply laying hands and saying, God, give her more. God, love on her. God, thank you. You know, just move, God. Do what you want to do, right? He wasn't practiced, right? I didn't say, these are the five steps of what you have to do. We didn't go through these things. He just was right there involved. Then he prayed and prayed. And so then the very next day, one of the speakers, he's a little evangelist, and he is little. He's a little guy, but he's powerful in the word. He's powerful in the kingdom. And he goes, and this evangelist is talking, and we go up. It was almost our last night. It was Friday night. And so we're going and we're praying. And Hudson says, I want to go up. I love his stories. And I want to be involved with some of that stuff. And say, okay, let's go. We go up, we pray. And then he says to me, he says, are you guys going to be here tomorrow? So we're only going to be there like right after lunch or something. He goes, okay, I'm speaking at 1:30. I want to pray over him again. I said, okay. So Hudson heard it too. So we're like, okay, cool. So then the next day we go up and he's teaching. He's telling these stories. The guy's an evangelist. I'm telling you, church, there's mighty things that happen. When you step out in faith and get beyond yourself, great things will happen. If you listen to the Lord of God, mighty, incredible, powerful things will happen. He had story after story after story. And he's younger. A lot of people look up at younger and they think, oh, they don't know. They haven't lived life. Dude, that guy's lived more life than some people I know that have been sitting in a church their entire life because he's led by the Lord and he's allowed the Lord to lead him and he's been obedient. He said over and over again how scared he was multiple times. And then he said even at some point he was so scared, he just opened his mouth and words just came out. Now, I've been like that before where I should have been slapped, but that wasn't in the spirit, right? You ever open your mouth and you're like, oh, I can't believe I said it, right? Maybe God wants to turn that around. You open up your mouth and start saying what God wants you to say. And so that's what he did, and he opened up his mouth, amen, and things came out, and great things happened. So then the next day, he's speaking, he's telling these stories, it's incredible. We get prayer, we can't quite make it to the front, there's too many people. We finally get there, and then he prays for our family, Lindley included, and prays for us, and then ministry's happening. And okay, so there's a 16-year-old girl, beautiful, beautiful blonde 16-year-old girl. She just looks precious as can be. You could tell, like, most likely she's probably a pretty popular girl by the way she's dressing, her makeup. I think she's even tanning and things like that. Remember you used to tan and you think that was great? And now you're like, man, I wish I didn't because now I'm getting wrinkles. Okay, so, hey, come on. You don't even want to wave your hand, but you know what you... Okay, so... But she's just beautiful, and God was hitting her so powerfully. So then this evangelist comes over and says, hey, are you feeling the fire? So Hudson's standing there again. He's feeling the fire again, even hotter this time and heavier. And he says, can I use your son? Can I borrow him for a second to lay hands on some people that are coming up? I said, absolutely. So then Hudson walks up, and I'm watching, and mom's getting prayed for and delivered of sickness and all these things that the enemy keeps trying to steal from our family, and she's getting ministered to, and so her eyes are closed, but I'm watching, I'm looking over there, and then Hudson walks over, simple prayers. He walks over to that girl. She hits the ground, starts screaming, flailing on the ground. She starts like kicking people. Everybody has to back up. And then Hudson tells this leader, goes, I was just praying for her, but I wanted to say amen because if I feel like if we kept doing it, God would kill her. So he's like, amen. Right? Don't kill her, Lord. I didn't mean to. I was just being obedient. I don't want to kill anybody. Right? So then he goes over, he lays hands on another girl, a teenage girl. She hits the drum cage, falls on the ground. I'm like, I'm just watching. I'm like, oh, Hudson's going to have some stories. He prayed for like 8 or 9 people. All of them just went out. Like, and he's just walked over. And then he said, okay, I don't feel hot anymore or anything like that. Church, when God gives you something, give it away. Amen. Give it away. My wife has said this before. If you think something, feel something that will uplift, build up, and encourage, say it. Don't hold it in. Say it out loud. You know how much people need, and they've walked through trauma and pain and hurtful things that have been spoken in their life, and they don't ever hear anything positive, and it's on your lips right there, and you choose not to say it, right? You know how many times I walk by people and say, like a little old lady, I walked by her twice. I was like, at this conference, I said, "You look absolutely beautiful today." And I wasn't lying. She did. She's like, "Oh, bless your heart," right? She reached in, tried to give me a quarter. I'm playing. Oh, remember those days. I won't buy anything. Remember? Yeah, government joke in a second. But, okay. Thank you. You got your own jokes. Okay. You don't need mine. All right, moving on. So I want to just be led. You're still sitting there. Look at you. Good job. Awesome. Thank you. See him looking at me? Okay, I want to read this scripture, and I believe that, and if you have to go after we read this scripture and we pray, if you have to go, go. If you don't have to go, stay, right? That was pretty easy instructions. But I want to read this. I was thinking, how does the world deal with trauma? Okay, how does the world deal with trauma? Physically, people deal with trauma. They go to the doctor. They go to physical therapy. They go to psychologists. They see people. They talk to people. They walk through it. And so many times, people that have severe trauma in their life, they're never free. They're never free. Never. Church, they're never free. They've tried everything, every medicine, every counselor, every situation. And you know what? Even the world says, drink this, smoke this, sleep with these people, do this, right? Get enough money, buy this, do these things, deal with your trauma that way. So then I was like, okay, I know what the world says. I've been there for some of it. But what does the Bible say that Jesus did for people's trauma? Let me read just highlights, and I want you to think of these stories if you remember. How did Jesus deal with people's trauma? How did he heal the adulterous woman caught in the act of sexual sin? He spoke to her trauma. He freed her from her trauma. How about the little, wee little man, the little midget in the Bible, right? The tree that everyone hate, this guy that everyone hated because he stole from them and collected too many taxes. How did Jesus heal his trauma? How about the blind man? Come on up. I got you, right? How about the deaf and the mute man? How about the cripple who never walked before and was begging and begging and begging? How about Jesus calming the storm in the middle of the sea? Jesus, he commanded. Too many people petition and just ask and ask and beg and beg. And Jesus, he didn't beg and beg, he commanded. Jesus commanded. Jesus touched. And Jesus had them act in faith. Pick up your mat and walk. And they just said, if he said it, I'm going to do it. Pop, 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 pop. Walk, 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 walk. Celebrate, tell the world. Jesus healed their trauma. Let me read this. Luke 6, 17 through 19. It says, when they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, from far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 18, they had come to hear him and to be healed, church, of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone touched or tried to touch him because healing power went out from him and he healed everyone. I believe there's a healing touch in the house today. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to set people free of their diseases, their sicknesses, and evil spirits. I believe it. I've been preparing for it. I've been praying for it. I could barely sleep last night. I woke up over and over and over and over and over and over. I can't wait for my nap later. Over and over and over again. If you call me around 2 or 3 o'clock, you will not get me. Over and over again, because God wants to set you free. Church, will you stand to your feet, please? Listen, Jesus is the source. I can heal no one. Our prayer team can heal no one. Our prayer team can't set anyone free. I can't set anyone free. Nobody can heal your trauma. Only Jesus can heal your wounds. Only Jesus can set the captive free. Will you lower the lights, please? It's true. This is what Jesus said in Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jesus read this scroll from the Old Testament and he proclaimed this because that is what the prophet was prophesying of Jesus. And Jesus read it and said, this has been fulfilled today. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim the captives will be released and the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. It's here, church. It's here. Prayer teams, will you come on up here? If you want to go after I say amen in this prayer, feel free to go. If you got to get your kid, that'd be awesome. If not, and Hudson, will you join the prayer teams, please, son? Okay, put your hands out. Ask God to bring the fire again, okay? Bring the fire again. Amen. Amen. Do what God, allow God to do what he did before. Amen. If you need prayer today, if you need to be set free, if you want to be healed, if you need Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. There are people that have been praying and preparing for over a month for this moment, for this day, for this hour, for the time of the Lord's favor has come for you. Church, will you close your eyes? Father in heaven, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Worthy is the Lamb of God, worthy to be praised. You are all that we need. You're all that we need. Nikki, you can come up and sing if you'd like to, unless you need prayer, feel free. And join Brent. Father, we just thank you right now. We ask for a mighty move. Holy Spirit, move in this place right now, 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 right now. Convict their hearts. Free them of their trauma. Heal them. They've tried so many things. It's time to try Jesus. It's time to find the cure. We ask right now that you anoint. Hey, our prayer team, just extend your hands like you receive some. Right now, fill their hands with your fire. Fill their hands with your anointing. Fill their mouth with your words. Lead their hearts, their minds right now. Fill them, fill them, fill them right now. Fire come upon them right now in Jesus' name. Right now, right now, they are your vessels. We thank you, we love you, we worship you.